This is Jordan Seculo. Breaking news. The Trump administration has banned research that uses human remains from elective abortions. We'll talk about it today on Jay Seculo Live. A big victory.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
A big victory for life. And when people ask you, does it matter who the President of the United States is, it absolutely does. Because as I tweeted last night when this news broke, and Tham Bennett, our government affairs team in Washington, D.C., alerted us to it, this news from the Department of Health and Human Services, that there would now be a ban on the research of what they call fetal or human tissues from elective abortions. Remember all of that info about the selling fetal body parts, as they like to call it. We call it selling human body parts from abortions, that the federal government will no longer be issuing grants to institutions to perform these. They've canceled grants, and that they will no longer be conducting research inside the U.S. government. So the NIH will no longer be conducting research on fetal or human remains that come from elective abortions. That means abortions that were done for no medical purpose whatsoever. And again, that we could talk through all these alternatives, a tissue that is available to researchers that does not have to cause the taking of a life to get to. But this is a big victory. Let me walk you through quickly how the ACLJ was involved, because as we always say, this is not a topic that we're just talking about. We have been heavily involved in it. First, the ACLJ filed two Freedom of Information Act requests on the fetal research grants going out from the federal government, from the U.S. government to private institutions or universities. The first time we issued we said we were going to file a FOIA against a company that did this fetal aborted baby parts research. All we had to do was issue the release that the FOIA would be filed that night. And guess what? HHS immediately canceled the contract with that company. They canceled the contract just by the threat of an ACLJ FOIA. But there was another. The University of California at San Francisco was getting a large grant from HHS to conduct research on aborted babies' fetal parts and their remains. So we filed a FOIA there. And in the announcement, in the policy announcement last night, Than, one of the first decisions made by HHS was to effectively cancel that policy on that second FOIA we filed to cancel that contract with the University of California at San Francisco for this horrendous research.
Yeah, that's right, Jordan. It's a tremendous win for life. And this is one of the reasons we engage in that FOIA practice in the first place, is to shine a light for the federal government on some of these problematic grants, programs, funding recipients. And this one, that was the University of California by San Francisco, was using fetal human remains from elective abortion in their research. Jordan, we filed a FOIA back in January asking for information related to that research. That was the first announcement made by HHS yesterday, that they are terminating, effective yesterday, that contract with UCSF. And Jordan, the announcement really goes, there's so many layers to this, but it's so good. All of the research that is done inside the Department of Health and Human Services will no longer be allowed to use these human remains from elective abortions across the agency, Jordan. So they canceled the contract we were looking at and said no more of this research inside the agency. And essentially, they shut it down for grants for outside researchers as well. We can walk into some of that. But Jordan, I tell you what, yet another tremendous announcement from the Department of Health and Human Services under President Trump.
Yes, thank you, President Trump. I say that specifically because the Washington Post reporting that the new restrictions on fetal tissue research, quote, was the president's decision. President Trump ultimately making the decision to stop this horrendous practice of using children from abortions and their remains to conduct medical research. So unethical. And again, we'll take your calls on this. 1-800-684-3110. It matters who your president is. 1-800-684-3110. We're not forgetting the 75th anniversary of D-Day either.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow on a day where we have a great pro-life victory to celebrate. And we will, again, go through that with you, exactly what happened by the Health and Human Services Department. They have put an end to funding research that involves the fetal tissues of aborted babies. They will no longer be doing that funding inside the federal government, and they're going to be putting together a review board for any new grants, so anyone else who wants to do this kind of funding using the body parts of children from elective abortions, that means abortions that were not medically necessary for any reason, that they will have to go through a review board to determine the ethics of that. And I'm fairly confident I can say under this administration, that review board will not be approving any new grants on fetal tissue research from elective abortions. And you can already see that in their first release on this policy last night, where on a case we filed a FOIA on, the ACLJ has been involved in this very much so from the very start with the Trump administration. With the ACLJ filed a FOIA on the contract between HHS and the University of California at San Francisco on a contract that they were, a grant that the University of California, San Francisco was receiving to do that fetal research from children from elective abortions. Again, abortions for no medical purpose whatsoever. No reason, just wanted to kill the child. And we put a FOIA in. One of the first items announced in the HHS policy is that that grant will not be renewed. It is done. It is over. No more money going to the University of California at San Francisco to do research on aborted babies and their body parts. So again, we talked about the sale of those body parts, that whole industry, how it can be affected by this in this major pro-life victory. And then moving forward, the government is saying, we're not going to do it ever again inside the U.S. government, and you're going to have to go through that review board. And we'll talk more about all of this later in the broadcast to get you up to speed. I want to take your phone calls on it. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. A great pro-life victory. A big thank you to Secretary Azar from HHS and all the policy folks there who put this policy together. A thank you to our ACLJ team who filed these FOIAs, getting this process started, this review going back, you know, letting the Trump administration really know what the U.S. government was funding. You know, when you come in as a new administration and you're not from the swamp, it can be shocking to learn what you're funding with U.S. taxpayer dollars. And here the Trump administration, and it is being reported by the Washington Post that ultimately President Trump himself made the final decision to stop funding this kind of research on aborted children's body parts. So thank President Trump for this pro-life victory. We want to take your calls about this. 1-800-684-3110. I'm sure there's a lot of questions about what it means, what are the impacts of it at 1-800-684-3110. While we have those calls coming in, I do want to acknowledge, as we have veterans on at the ACLJ and working with us, I have one right next to me and another in our office in Virginia Beach, Virginia, to acknowledge the 75th anniversary of the D-Day attacks. Let me play this from this morning. This was, again, the president, I believe he was in Normandy, the president taking part in that 75th anniversary event. Take a listen.
We are gathered here on freedom's altar, on these shores, on these bluffs, on this day, 75 years ago, 10,000 men shed their blood and thousands sacrificed their lives for their brothers, for their countries, and for the survival of liberty. Today we remember those who fell, and we honor all who fought right here in Normandy.
You know, I think, again, we are going to talk about this a little bit more in the next segment of the broadcast. We're going to get deeper into the importance of D-Day, why it is acknowledged, of course, that this generation, and if you saw the imagery from this morning, you see that there's, it's a dwindling group, unfortunately, of those who remember that day from a firsthand perspective, that were there on those beaches, storming, you know, Omaha Beach on D-Day. And they, as many as possible were there at the event that could still travel. As Wes said, maybe about 1,000 remained from around the Allies. Again, just a few hundred were, I think, able to attend the event, make that kind of trip today. We'll talk about that. And if you've got family, maybe a great-grandfather, great-grandfather who was part of D-Day and is one of those veterans, whether they are with us still or not, we'd love to hear from you as well and maybe tell their story at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. But I do want to focus in on this tremendous pro-life victory. Than, let's walk people through. We were prepared to file a FOIA. This FOIA was on, tell people, it was a company that conducted this aborted fetal research.
Yeah, first of all, Jordan, just to back up just a little bit, I think the market for these baby body parts in the first place was really propped up by the federal government's dollars in it. I mean, we all know the scandal from Planned Parenthood where they were selling baby body parts, even when the federal government wasn't buying them, Jordan. The federal government's participation in that market really made that possible, and that's one of the reasons we first started focusing on this. But you're right. Back in September of 2010, we announced that we were going to file for a FOIA for more information about a company called Advanced Bioscience Resources. Jordan, they had actually been referred for criminal investigation, but by and large, they were doing research that was using human tissue that was acquired from elective abortion, and we wanted to know how much due diligence the federal government had done before granting that research. Less than 24 hours later, Jordan, not only was that contract canceled, so essentially a very quick win for the ACLJ and our members and for the issue of life. But Jordan, the Department of Health and Human Services also announced that they were going to do a comprehensive agency-wide review of all of the contracts that involved elective abortion. During that process, that's when we discovered this contract with the University of California in San Francisco. Other people were concerned about it as well. We filed an additional FOIA asking for information on that contract. They were using these human remains, Jordan, from elective abortion to form what they called humanized mice. So in a nutshell, at the end of this comprehensive review, the first thing that the Department of Health and Human Services did is cancel that contract that we wanted more information about. So a big win. But in addition to that, and you walk through this, Jordan, there's going to be no more of this research done inside the Department of Health and Human Services, and they're going to make sure that outside research that's funded by the government goes through an ethical board review first. And Jordan, I can already anticipate the first sort of cry from the left that there won't be money for research. Well, a couple of months ago, the Department of Health and Human Services announced that they are spending $20 million to investigate ethical alternatives, something that the federal government has largely ignored in the process. We're going to move away from research that has these ethical concerns and into ones that don't have the ethical problems.
Ethics plays a major role in this. In fact, the second part of what the HHS announced is that not only are we not going to be doing this inside the U.S. government at the National Institute of Health, and the researchers and scientists and doctors there will not be conducting this research on fetal aborted child's body parts remains, just to make it clear what we're talking about, but that there's going to be an ethical ethics panel review board for anyone who wants to do this from an outside, like one of these universities or organizations. It's pretty clear from what HHS said and how they canceled the contract with the University of California at San Francisco that this administration is not going to be granting any new requests to do this kind of research on aborted babies and their body parts, which will affect that industry of sales of those aborted babies' body parts. But the ethical issues, too, of what else is available can be very misleading by the, of course, it's the abortion industry pushing this. It's very misleading that there's so much available to do research on that includes human and fetal type tissues.
Yeah. And in spite of the outcry already from Planned Parenthood and some of the left-leaning academics and researchers, you know, there are other alternatives to doing the same research that is important and, you know, looking for cures and treatments for various diseases. And these include, you know, tissues from live normal births, as well as miscarriages. And there are other ways to do this same research. But at the center of all of this, Jordan, it's ethical, moral, and legal issues that are at stake here. And this decision by the Trump administration reflects what I believe is a core American value, and indeed a value of the civilized world, and that is the dignity of every human life. That's the real bottom line here. The research can be done in other ways other than having baby body parts from elective abortions used in this research. It's a very, very important decision today.
And ultimately, Than, while the statute authorizes an ethics board, the Secretary of Health and Human Services can actually make the final decision. So ultimately, this will really be very important as we say, elections have consequences over and over. Who is in the White House and who is making the appointments to positions like HHS Secretary?
That's right. The secretary will make the final decision based on that input from the ethics board, Jordan. But when the White House changes, the new secretary would have that authority. That's what the statute allowed HHS to do. That's what they've taken advantage of. But you're right. This is one of those things, Jordan. Elections have consequences. This is a prime example of that.
So, again, these statutes that have been ignored in the past, now utilized by the Trump administration, and now it's President Trump's final decision to stop this research on aborted children. 1-800-684-3110.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. there's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
I want to let you know, we're going to get back to the HHS huge pro-life victory, folks. I can't underscore it enough how big of a victory it is, how many millions of dollars are being taken away from the pro-abortion industry, from the fetal body parts industry that uses aborted babies to make money by selling their parts off, and from Planned Parenthood, who makes money by selling those aborted babies' body parts off, by this move by the Trump administration, and ultimately, as is being reported throughout the major media outlets, Washington Post, AP, President Trump made the ultimate call to stop doing this scientific, quote, scientific research on aborted children's body parts, and to put together a review board for any outside organizations or universities that want to conduct that kind of research in the future. And I will tell you that under this administration, they're already canceling or letting expire the existing contracts. I can't imagine them making any new contracts, but elections have consequences. So while this is a huge pro-life victory, for now, you can imagine how another president, even like a Joe Biden type, would quickly change this policy right around. So this is, just remember this one, and we'll keep talking about it today on the broadcast in our second half hour. But we do want to remember the 75th anniversary of D-Day. It is important to all of us, whether we were alive or not, how important it was for the world to defeat the Nazis. And this specific invasion, the size, the scope, what it ultimately led to was victory in Europe, and then ultimately victory over Japan as well. Let me go to Wes Smith first. Wes, as the president, we see the pomp, the circumstance, the few hundred veterans who served, on D-Day, who were able to make the trip, or who are already in France or in the UK, maybe a little bit easier for them as they are aging. We know it's a group that we're not going to hear from directly as much. So it's important that we continue to tell their stories.
Absolutely. You know, this was the largest military operation in history, Operation Overlord, as it was called. Mm-hmm. And it involved a massive plan of deception for the German army through fake troops and tanks and vehicles and radio traffic. General Patton, for example, commanded a huge army that was strictly on paper. They convinced the Germans that the attack to try and liberate Europe would take place either in Norway or on the narrowest point of the English Channel, the Pas-de-Calais. And before dawn, while it was still dark, paratroopers, many of them from the 101st Airborne Division, were dropped behind the German lines in order to attack the rear echelons and disrupt supplies and communication. And then at dawn, 150,000 soldiers from the United States, Canada, and the United Kingdom stormed those beaches in landing craft that were called Higgins boats. They carried 36 troops plus a driver and an assistant driver. And the first two waves of these boats that lowered their ramps on the beach, there was a huge majority of soldiers killed in those first two waves on the two beaches where the United States troops landed, Omaha and Utah. And as they began walking on the beach, the Germans with machine guns and artillery from the high cliffs on Omaha and Utah Beach rained down fire on those U.S. soldiers. But these soldiers still left the security of those boats, and they stormed the enemy anyway, even though they were outgunned and outnumbered. We talk about the fact that on that first day alone on the beaches of Normandy, there were 10,000 casualties. But also, before the Battle of Normandy ended some 3 months later, or 2 months later, the casualty rate for Allied soldiers was an astonishing 226,000 who died trying to liberate Europe. It's just an amazing story. It's an amazing group of figures on this. I know when I was in Normandy a few years ago and walked those beaches, you have this distinct sense when you are there and you look at those 9,338 American graves in that cemetery and you walk the beach, that you're indeed standing on holy ground.
Yeah, definitely a sacred place. And when you look at a map, you realize that while there were bombing raids on the UK by the Nazis, that this was the next move would have been the invasion by the Nazis into the UK. I mean, this is what they were. That would have been the next move, but for this kind of massive military engagement. Let's go to President Trump and listen to his words again this morning on the beaches of Normandy at the event acknowledging the 75th anniversary. And then we'll go to Skip Ash in our studios in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Bite 10.
The enemy who had occupied these heights saw the largest naval armada in the history of the world. Just a few miles offshore were 7,000 vessels bearing 130,000 warriors. They were the citizens of free and independent nations united by their duty to their compatriots and to millions yet unborn.
I want to go to Skip Ash as well. Skip, also serving in our armed forces all the way to the Pentagon. And I know that as someone, you know, who attended military schools and I mean, you were schooled in this attack specifically, but the significance of D-Day to World War II was also very important. That this was really the beginning of the end, it seems, for the Nazis.
Yeah, this was a world-changing event. But let's keep in mind that the forces that went in there were actually engaging in a frontal attack against fixed forces and bunkers. You, in the military, if you can avoid it, you never want to have a frontal attack. You'd rather attack on the flanks or in some other way. There was no other choice. And let's also keep in mind, normally when you're attacking a defending force, you want to have three times as many attackers as you do defenders, and that simply was not possible. So when you look at these terms and these conditions, it is absolutely amazing what the Allied forces were able to accomplish. I've also been at Normandy, and I was there with my father, who is a World War II veteran, but not from Normandy. And the people there were so friendly to us. They came up, and they were so interested in the fact that my father may have been there. And the French, that's one of the friendliest parts of France to Americans. But when you go to the cemetery that's there, it's absolutely one of the most moving experiences I've had in my life. When you see how the French take care of the American graves in conjunction with Americans, but the cemeteries there in France are absolutely marvelous in the care that the people of Europe show for our veterans.
What is unique about this military event and world and historic event is, of course, you never can take away the tremendous loss of life, the victory as well over evil, good versus evil, but that it does appear that unlike some other time, you know, I look at other conflicts, other eras, whether it's Vietnam or even the Korean War that doesn't always get as much attention, we've made sure to acknowledge not just World War II and its veterans, but the specific individuals that were part of this West, that were part of this a specific event, this landing on the beach, as Skip said, facing enemies in bunkers on high.
Yeah, it was an amazing act of determination and bravery. I mean, when these ramps on the Higgins boats lowered, they immediately began taking enemy fire. Eisenhower, who was the supreme commander of this operation, was told to expect a 75% casualty rate, and yet because the stakes were so high, he ordered the attack anyway. It's an amazing story in history of the United Kingdom, Canada, the United States, and all of our allies.
The bravery of the Western world to defeat what was truly evil in that Nazism. So many young men perishing so that we have the freedoms that we do today. So that the Nazis didn't invade the United Kingdom, as they were right on the coast of doing. Again, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Second half hour coming up. We'll take some calls on this. And we'll take calls as well on this new pro-life victory. We'll be right back.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. You are in our second half hour. We're talking about two issues. One, of course, acknowledging the 75th anniversary of the D-Day attack. So we've played sound from President Trump as he was at the event on the beaches of Normandy. Today, acknowledging the sacrifice by not just the U.S. service members, but from the allies who took part in that attack, which ultimately was world-changing. As Skip said, it changed the world. Largest single military attack ever organized and put together, and even one that they knew, even with success, there would be great casualties. If there was success, there would be great casualties, even up to 75% was estimated, and yet still moving forward with that attack. We're going to take your calls on that. A lot of people have got calls. They've got family members they want to tell, and this is the day to do it, to acknowledge those, because unfortunately that generation is dwindling, and they're not going to be with us, not too many with us even today, to tell the direct hand first-hand accounts. So it's so important that we get those stories through family members in books and make sure that we never forget this historic event, which I think we've done a pretty good job, unlike some other military events throughout our history, of doing. But first, I do want to report to you, if you're just joining us, there is a major pro-life victory, Than, out of the HHS, ACLJ directly involved with two FOIAs, so two lawsuits we were prepared. One we were preparing to file and didn't even have to file, and then a second we filed, and we've got the answer to that last night in this HHS release. Tell people about it.
Yeah, both of those FOIAs, Jordan, were related to companies that were getting money from the Department of Health and Human Services to do research that required the use of human remains from elective abortions. So remains that came from an elective abortion that was not performed for a medical reason, they were performing research on that, and the federal government was funding it. Back in September, Jordan, we were preparing to file a FOIA. We announced that we were going to file a FOIA about this company, Advanced Bioscience Resources. That contract was canceled the next day, so great work by HHS. They also at that time initiated a review agency-wide of all of the related contracts. And yesterday they wrapped up that review. They came up with a conclusion. And Jordan, the first announcement that they made in that was related to another company that we had done a FOIA on back in January of 2019. This was the University of California, San Francisco, who was making humanized mice with these human remains from elective abortions. Jordan, they had been renewing that contract in 90-day increments while they completed this review. The first announcement they made yesterday is they are canceling that contract as well. I know there are more layers to this. Maybe we can walk through them, Jordan. But long story short, the Department of Health and Human Services has recognized the ethical problems that exist with this research. They are allocating more of those dollars to the ethical alternatives, animal lines, and some other things. Yep. And look, part of the reason this market existed, Jordan, is because this is what the federal government was funding. Now that they're committed to funding ethical research, I think you're going to see breakthroughs on that side of the ethical line.
It's going to hurt Planned Parenthood's bottom line. They sell these fetal body parts. It's going to hurt that industry that is kind of the go-between on selling the body parts. And, of course, these universities who rely on our taxpayer dollars to fund this kind of research, like putting fetal body parts into mice, that will no longer be the case. And ultimately, this was a decision, as being reported by the Associated Press and Washington Post, the final decision on this was made by President Trump. So thank you, President Trump, for standing up for life. We'll continue to talk about that as well. And D-Day, I want to take Jerry's call on this life victory very quickly. This first segment, Jerry, you're in from Rhode Island on line one. Welcome to the broadcast.
Hello, team.
Hey,
the
Jerry.
Two senior people of our church are World War II veterans. One was with the squadron that dropped the bomb. The other was on the USS Augusta with General Bradley observing Normandy,
wow,
reporting directly to Eisenhower whether we should put in the third and fourth wave, and watching the destroyers go in close to provide close air support to the landings. And both those veterans would celebrate today's victory of the ACLJ regards to the body parts.
You know, I think, Jerry, that's a great way to put that call together. Thank you for that call. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Jay Sekulow Live, a great pro-life victory the ACLJ was directly involved in. So let me thank all of our supporters, those who financially support the ACLJ, those who sign the petitions, the listeners to this broadcast who get involved in the issues and care about the issues. Thank you. Because of you, a great pro-life victory. We were prepared to file one FOIA, and all we had to do was announce that we were going to file. That's a legal a request being put forward through on a contract between the U.S. government and a company that conducts fetal body part research, that is aborted babies research on their body parts. And all we had to do was announce that we were going to file a FOIA to HHS about this contract. And you know what the Trump administration did? Canceled the contract before we even had to file the FOIA. Second time around, we found out, and again, you've got to help the administration here because there's so much money going. This is a drain-the-swamp type of administration. The bureaucrats certainly aren't helping them identify where this money's going. So we found another, that the University of California at San Francisco, as Dan said, was using had this long-term contract using the remains of aborted children and their body parts to conduct research. Some of that research actually included putting fetal body remains, so human remains from abortions, into elective abortions. So abortions that were not medically necessary for any reason, into mice. I mean, that is not a joke. It's not a conspiracy theory. That contract has also been exterminated by the release from HHS last night. They said that contract ended on June 5th. It will not be up. It will not be renewed. It was up for renewal. It will not be renewed. So we had two legal actions ready. One, all we had to do was say we were going to take the legal action, and the contract got canceled. And the second time around in this release, once this review was done by HHS, and it was a 9-month review of this practice that was going on, where it was happening both inside the U.S. government, so the NIH, National Institute of Health, and FDA and others were conducting these fetal body part research programs. So number one, after this 9-month, and it's a statutory provision that the HHS has to act under this 9-month review, they said, we're not doing this anymore inside the U.S. government whatsoever. And then for those outside, we're going to put together an ethics board, and that ethics board will then be governed by the Secretary of Health and Human Services. So if anybody wants to do this on aborted children's body parts, and this research, they will have to first apply through the ethics board, but ultimately the Secretary of Health and Human Services can make the final call. I will tell you, under the Trump administration, no new contracts will, no new grants will be issued to do this disgusting research, which just, again, it funds. It is another funding source of the abortion industry. And again, it's appalling that we were even allowing it in our country in the first place. But no more. And you know who made the final decision on it? It wasn't Fox News, not me that's reporting it. It's not a blog. AP, Washington Post, both reporting that it was President Trump who made the final decision to take this action at HHS. So I thank HHS Secretary Azar, his whole team that did this review, and the members of Congress that have been standing up for this, and ultimately President Trump for making that final decision. We're going to have a great blog up. Is it up yet at ACLJ.org? It will be today, kind of explaining this huge pro-life victory. Again, there's been so much in the news about it, about the sale of fetal body parts. This is all relating to that. This puts an end to the industry, if you will. If I guarantee you the federal government was number one in giving out money to do this research, because the schools were obviously, they were going to the federal government to get the money. They weren't giving out the grants themselves. They were applying for the grants. There were whole corporate industries based off selling these aborted babies' body parts. So again, and Planned Parenthood was selling them as well. So it's going to have a huge impact on the abortion industry, on the industry that is against life and that will acknowledge, that refuses to acknowledge the life of the unborn. So again, check out ACLJ.org later today. It's another one of those huge victories that we don't just talk about, but that we were actively involved in from the very beginning. In fact, I will say, you know, we were really letting the Trump administration know through our FOIAs what was going on at HHS, what kind of grants were being made. And they took immediate action the first time, and now they're no longer renewing these grants to research universities that were doing this. That is a great, great pro-life victory. A lot of calls coming in, and I think this is wonderful, about D-Day as well. So I want to take some of those. This is the 75th anniversary of D-Day, but I do want to play, we've played President Trump. This was the 40th anniversary. This was President Reagan on his D-Day speech. I heard it driving into the office today, and I wanted to play this portion for you, Byte 31.
We're here to mark that day in history when the Allied armies joined in battle to reclaim this continent to liberty. For 4 long years, much of Europe had been under a terrible shadow. Free nations had fallen. Jews cried out in the camps. Millions cried out for liberation. Europe was enslaved and the world prayed for its rescue. Here in Normandy, the rescue began. Here the Allies stood and fought against tyranny in a giant undertaking unparalleled in human history.
Tremendous words from President Reagan. Tremendous words from President Trump today. I want to go right to the phones on this. We'll also talk about that life issue as well. I know, Ann, you've got a question on that as well. Let's go to April in Pennsylvania on line 3. April, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jordan. Thank you guys for all that you do for life and liberty. I've been a supporter for years.
Thank you so much, and April.
I just wanted to make a comment on the D-Day. My father actually was on the shores of Normandy. He had been in the service for a couple of years by that time. And I don't know which way that he was on, but I do know that he had he was a sharpshooter, and he had gotten a Purple Heart, so I'm assuming he was injured during that time on the shores of Normandy. He also had a Silver Star and some other awards. But he ended up coming home shortly after that time, not just with his injury, but with shell shock, which at that time, you know, they didn't know of PTSD. And I'm so excited to see how our president supports the veterans. My dad was always a supporter of the veterans. He loved the presidents that supported the military. He never did talk about his experience in the war after that. You'd ask him a question, he'd say, we did what we had to do to keep America free. And that was it.
Yeah.
And he didn't go on about it.
April, I appreciate you sharing that story, and also appreciate your support for the ACLJ and for what your dad did as well for our country. And I'll go to Wes and Skip on this. I mean, that one of the difficulties in putting together the stories is that so many who did return, those who did not lose their lives, experience what we now know as PTSD. Understandably, when you see the footage and imagery out of this, I can't imagine anyone going through that without some kind of effect on them long term and lifelong. But it is one of the difficulties. Thankfully, at this time, there was video. There were reporters there on live as well, because getting those stories could be pretty difficult to get from many of those veterans from D-Day.
Yeah, and some of the interviews over the last intervening years have been very touching and very moving, as soldiers who do talk about it, talk about what went on that day, what they were thinking and feeling. I read an account of one veteran yesterday who said as they were going and getting into the landing craft, the Higgins boats, each of them were well aware that they probably would not survive. That's just hard to fathom.
Yeah.
You know, sitting here today, they knew they would probably die. War is always violent. I don't think there's ever been a more violent battle than this one, because, you know, as you're trying to walk up those beaches and through the barriers and with German artillery machine gun, you know, firing at you, there would literally be on either side of you hundreds of people being killed in some of the most extreme and violent ways. So there's no way these young men at the time could come back home without that affecting them. It has a profound and lifelong effect. And you just can't overstate the courage and the bravery and the willingness to sacrifice themselves that these men exhibited.
Let me go to Skip Ash as well. Skip, as also serving in our armed forces, and again, you talked about being there with your father, who was a World War II veteran. Was he willing to talk about the stories?
You know, my experience has been my father would very seldom discuss that. I just lost my uncle a couple weeks ago, died at 97, was in the Battle of the Bulge. Mm. He would never talk about these things. So I think what happens is there's a bond between those who were there, which is a very intimate bond. And they are experiences that they would talk a little bit between each other and amongst themselves, but seldom would they hold themselves out. And I think this generation felt that they were merely doing their duty, what had to be done. These were not people who were out seeking glory. They achieved glory, but all they wanted to do was to accomplish the mission, to get home to the United States, and to continue on with their lives. And in my case, both my father and uncle were able to do that.
Yeah, I mean, positive stories as well of those who were able to return from those major battles of World War II. We've got a final segment coming up. In that segment, we take your phone calls. That's what we're going to do. We've got phone calls in on the fetal research pro-life victory. We're going to take those. We're going to take calls on D-Day and people's stories there as well. So we're going to take both. If you want to talk to us, 1-800-684-3110. Phone lines are full now. But we will take both. It's a unique show as we acknowledge both a victory, two different kinds of victories, if you will. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
I want to first take the calls on the pro-life victory so that we can focus on those with stories on D-Day and their family members who are World War II veterans. So let me take a couple of the calls that came in on the pro-life victory through HHS that we've been talking about today. We'll have a great blog up at aclj.org later today laying that all out for you. So share that one with your friends and family. It is a huge victory. Let me go right to Ann's call in Colorado on line 5. Ann, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Jordan, hello. Thank you for taking my call. Just so grateful to the ACLJ, longtime listener. I have a question, and I'm just praising Jesus for this pro-life victory. My question is, earlier in the show, in the program, you mentioned one way that they're able to still do research, and that was on some miscarried babies. Honey, just wait.
Yep.
And so that's one way. And with my liberal friends here, I would love to maybe have some other ideas of ways that we do research that are actually ethical. And so if you might share some of those ideas.
So, of course, miscarriage is one. You've got adult tissue. That is a second way of research. Another, remember, this is elective abortion. There are abortions which there's very few. But that can become medically necessary, like in this instance where the life of the mother may be at such a great risk that ultimately the decision is usually made between the family and the doctor whether or not to try and have the pregnancy but risk the mother's life or terminate the pregnancy. And again, so those what we call a medically necessary abortion, it's a very, very small number of abortions, but for this potential for research would provide a plenty, I believe, again, the materials that would be necessary. So you've got those aspects. And there are more, Than. I mean, the list kind of goes on and on about different avenues of research that can be done. I think it's a great question by Ann.
Yeah, all of those are viable, Jordan. And in fact, the vast majority of successes that we've had developing vaccines actually come through animal lines. And ironically, we have way more safeguards in the federal government for research done on animal tissue than we do fetal tissue. So honestly, I think that's the most exciting part of this is the human remains research is now going to catch up to the safeguards that we have on animal lines. Jordan, we don't have to get all the way into this, but tissue from fresh abortions actually has proven pretty ineffective. We've had the most success on animal lines, and now we're going to have more dollars from the federal government devoted to those lanes that have been successful.
Yeah, during one of our breaks, there was a congressman speaking. We played a video for folks on this issue on Facebook and Periscope. There's a congressman speaking that not a single vaccine had been registered that's research was based on fetal research. That it was based off that the vaccine had anything to do, so that was actually a successful vaccine created. There was not one that had anything to do with research on aborted children and their body parts. So that was very telling from that member of Congress. And it's why that decision can be made today, and the far left pro abortion industry can be up in arms about it. The truth is because it's a financial hit to them. It's a financial hit to these liberal institutions. And now they're going to have to really think about, you know, how to be ethical and think about the other options available to them. And like Than said, catching up to where we are on just on how we treat the tissues, animal tissue and animal tissues as well. And trying to, that is such abortion distortion right there. When the treatment of animals and those that may be terminated in the womb that are animals for research is more regulated than actual human beings. But the Trump administration is doing something about it. President Trump ultimately made this decision today. Take another call on this, then we're going to get to those D-Day calls. From people who called in with their family stories. So the link, take first Jackie's call from California on line one. Jackie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Oh, hello. I'm calling from California, and I'm just praising God, and I'm so grateful that President Trump is doing what he's doing. I'm African American, and I'm just now realizing since last year about what's really going on with the African American population. Our population has gone down so much dramatically because of abortion. Mm-hmm. And it really grieves me when I think about my people that don't know what's really going on. They're blind to listening. And I'm not saying all, but many will not listen to what's really happening with this liberalism. The Democratic Party is no longer the party that my father, who was in World War II. They're not the same. And I tried to tell my people about it, but they don't want to listen.
Yeah, it's very tough. You know, it's not the same Democrat Party that a lot of people's family members remember, regardless of where you are in the country. We thank you, too, Jackie, for your father's service in World War II. It is horrendous what has happened in the African-American community, specific to abortion. And this is just yet another pro-life victory. So I appreciate your story. I appreciate you talking truth as well, and appreciate and thank you for your father's service to our nation. A final call of the day. Let's make sure Paulina gets a book or two for holding on. Paulina, we want to make sure you had plenty of time to discuss your story. Call in from California on line four. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hello, Jordan. My brother's name was Dennis Swain, and he was in the Royal Navy, and he did 30 trips during the Normandy invasion over taking the soldiers on those rafts. Mm. As an electrical engineer. And then in the year when it was 70 years, the French Foreign Legion had sent a ship all the way to Auckland, New Zealand, where he was living. And they honoured him. They piped him on board, and he said, "Permission to come on board, sir." And he said, "You don't need permission. You have the ship for the day." And they gave him medals for those 30 trips that he did in the Royal Navy those 70 years before.
It's amazing. So, as an Australian who made those 30 trips. And we've told the stories about how dangerous each one of those trips was by vessel, but that oftentimes we talk about the kind of issues we have, Paulina, with France, and our foreign relations can sometimes be a little bit strenuous on what we realize on policies, which are really not that important when it comes to what we have faced together. And I think, Paulina, that is just a truly moving a story, and continue to tell that story to your family, because Wes, I mean, just the idea, making those 30 trips, having the French come all the way to Australia by vessel to acknowledge him. I mean, that is how these stories will remain. So that when we're at the 100th anniversary, and there may not be anyone left, won't be likely anyone left who was there on D-Day, who served, that we remember all the stories and the acknowledgments that occurred afterwards.
Yeah, and this is one of those days, in spite of all the political differences and the angst that's in our society, this is a day that unites us as Americans. It causes us to reflect on what really is important, what are true, lasting American values. And these men exhibited that, and they are a reminder to the rest of us of those values.
Folks, appreciate all your calls today discussing these two topics. And let me just remind you, go to aclj.org.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.